The essence of the Feast of Pentecost is revealed, the heart of the Feast of Pentecost, just like the heart of the Feast of Passover is revealed in the Song of Solomon. The heart of the Feast of Pentecost is revealed in the Book of Ruth. And that's what the book that studied on that day. And the heart of the Book of Ruth is revealed in these words. Naomi's trying to get her to go back to her people. She said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee." Or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I also be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And that's what, you know, I think about all the crap that I've done to all of you and all the hard words and in many ways trying to scare you out of the body. I just praise God that His grace is greater than my bullshit. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. And I hope every one of you know what that means and can hear it, because this now is a new people, a new creation. And we see newness, and we see, many times we see communication. The most effective way of communication is contrast. There's nothing like this in the world. Everybody's trying to have what we have automatically. Let's not ever again take it lightly. How come everybody doesn't have Bibles?
We don't use Bibles.
We don't use it very often.
Write it on the board.
Bibles yes or Bibles no.
Sort of a multiple choice thing. Acts chapter 2. To set the stage again, the disciples, after the crucifixion, they were wanted men, and the 120 that were with them were, you know, they were cowering in fear, and they went back to Galilee, and Peter tried to get most of the disciples to leave this God stuff and go back to their former jobs, but God had God, Jesus, had said to tarry in Jerusalem, or he is going to say that in a minute to them, or he, as we saw, but they not only had to tarry in Jerusalem, they had to appear at the temple by law, in spite of the fact that they were wanted men and women. And we, as you've heard me say before, more than likely, and that's almost a sure thing in my mind now, that this was the Jubilee year. And it meant that so therefore there's millions of Jews from all over the world that come back because they get to get their houses and lands back, especially their lands. And so it's a year of, in a very real way, it's a year of redemption. The Jubilee year is once every 50 years. Anybody that has sold their land or put it in bondage or whatever, or debt, then it goes back to the landholder, the rightful landholder. So in truth, in us, the Jubilee year is when we've been a usurper on the land, and now at Pentecost we're going to celebrate the fact that the rightful landowner has taken it over again. So they've been staying in Mark's parents' house on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and it's an estate. It's probably, you know, but people don't pay a lot of attention to what's going on there, because there's millions of Jews in Jerusalem, so they're safe in relative anonymity. But now the day of Pentecost is approaching, the feast. It's called the Feast of Shavuot, or Feast of Weeks. And it's required by law that they have to appear, all males over the age of 12, have to appear in the temple. Otherwise they're cut off from the people. So they're hiding out, and all of a sudden God tells them to blow their cover, as Harry says. So they're living in the upper room, and now the day of Pentecost has come. It's the feast day. And what we're going to do the next few weeks, or few meetings, is we're going to follow what the high priest was doing, what sacrifices were being offered, whether they were the peace offerings or the burnt offerings, or the and what they mean in relationship to the fullness of Christ. Okay? Now, so they're tiptoeing out to the temple. 120 of them. Probably going...
Twos and threes.
Right. Okay. Cornelius, you take the back route.
Right.
And so, you know, in the temple, it's a huge temple. We're talking big. And the first, when you go into the gate, the first courtyard is called the court of the Gentiles. And that just means that's as far as the Gentiles can go, to the steps that lead up to the next level. And the next level is the court of women. And then that's as far as women can go. And then the next level is the court of Israel. And that's as far as the regular people can go. And the next level is the court of priests. And that's as far as the priests can go. And then the next level is the Holy of Holies. So we're there. We're talking, they're in if they're going to have to be in the temple, they're way back. They're in the court of women, almost assuredly. And they're mingling. Something's happened, and so something forced them to all sort of get together in one place. We'll meet under and I'll bet you $100 that they met under the column of Boaz. We'll study it when we study Ruth. Boaz was the type of Christ that John just sang about, that Boaz awakened and found Ruth the young maiden at his feet. There was a column in the temple named the Column of Boaz. I mean, I just know that they were there near that column.
Did each column had a name? There was two big columns.
Two big columns. One of them was named Boaz, and the other one was named...
Sam.
No, I think it was named Butch.
But were those in the Herod's temple, or were they in...
They were also in the... They did it the same thing. And, copied it.
A background question here.
when they had to present themselves to the temple, was there some kind of formal thing that they had to go through where they did they get their hands stamped or what did that mean?
Did they have a roll call or
Nobody knows, but
spiritual that they would be cut off or something.
But what happened was is again like the rabbi the rabbis from Galilee were in the temple. And so the rabbis from all over the world were there. And so they knew who was there because they were there out of their synagogue.
There were no priests outside of Israel proper, though. Mm-hmm. There were priests in Greece or something.
No.
There were rabbis.
The priests had to stay in the land, but they were outside of Jerusalem. There were 144,000 priests or Levites or priests. I mean, anyway, I don't want to get into that tonight. So the day is here. Okay, guys, we'll go and we'll leave about every 20 minutes. And we probably ought to go in twos. And we'll meet at Boaz's column. Oh, let's say we'll meet there in an hour and a half.
Synchronize your sundials.
Okay, now if anything happens, you got to let Peter know about it because he's sort of now the leader, and we'll do everything to him. He's the loudest. He can scream the loudest. So if you get put in jail or anything on the way to the temple, they got to let you go to the temple. But then, you know, but if you get in any trouble, get a message to Peter, and we'll see. We've collected some money. Maybe we can pay a fine, get you out, or bribe you out, or something. But keep it down. I mean, don't make any noise while you're there at the temple. Don't make any kind of disturbance.
Speaking of other times.
Don't draw any attention to yourselves.
I bet they didn't even have to say that.
Yeah. Don't have a ripping time hovering above your head.
No time to
die.
Don't try to start a fire.
Just sort of go there, do the procedure. Like, you have all done it before. You just sort of go there and watch the high priest do his stuff. And then you come back, and we'll meet back here, and then we'll decide on our next step. Huh? We'll have lunch when you get back. It's
third hour.
It's the third hour. They're leaving in the morning, but they have to be there in time for the morning sacrifice, which is at 9. Okay, you got the picture.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, now we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. They're sneaking out. I love that. They're mingling.
Being nonchalant.
They're probably whistling.
Yeah.
Whistle.
Wearing their trench coats.
Right.
Trench robes.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The reason they were in one accord is they were scared to death.
Yeah, this is kind of like with Moses by faith forsook Egypt.
Right, when he was chased out by Pharaoh, but by faith, right. Now the day of Pentecost there, when it says was fully come, it's a particular word in the Greek which means fulfilled. But not just fulfilled that year, it means it was fulfilled forever. The meaning of the feast was fulfilled on this day. In all of time. This was the first kicker in my studies back many years ago when I began to understand that Christ fulfilled all the feasts. So the meaning of Pentecost, the meaning of the celebration, the meaning of the feast, the meaning of the law, the meaning of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters when the earth was created, the meaning of destruction of the Tower of Babel and the confusion of the languages, the meaning of the giving of the law on Sinai, all of which occurred on Pentecost, all of the meaning from a human standpoint was fulfilled at this moment, in this day, Everything else about that God had done thus far had only had was for God. Okay, now it can have meaning to the human race. What?
It just hit me when the dove brought the olive branch to Noah. What that was Pentecost.
Probably. They were all of with one accord in one place, and as I said, it's almost for certain that they were in the court of women in the temple. And suddenly there came, okay, they're hiding. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now this, the word the house, there shouldn't be house, it should be temple. It filled the temple where they were sitting, where they were hanging out. Josephus says there may have been as many as 6 million Jews in the temple at this point, or in the city. They weren't all in the temple because it was only we're talking a whole lot of people. So their cover was blown.
This is open area, and the temple doesn't have a lid on it.
Not here it doesn't, no. There came wait until you see, we've studied this a little bit last or a couple years ago, but while when that mighty rushing wind came was a particular point in the ceremony that the high priest, I mean that the priesthood was doing with regard to the offerings and activities of Pentecost. So all of a sudden there was a conflict of interest. There was competing stimuli. Okay. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. So much for their cover. What those cloven tongues were, as we've talked about, they were rips in the window of time, so that the fire of Olam, the fire of eternity, which everything must pass through, must go through. It's a little bitty rip in time, right? That's why it's called a baptism of fire. Because all must participate in the baptism of fire. You can't get there from here without going through the fire. So if you're on the hot seat now, praise God. If God has permitted us to speed time up, that you might have a foretaste of the hot seat, the judgment seat. I mean, you think I'm bad. Now, what's going on in these guys' mind? The 120. Forget the other people. Everybody else talks about what's going on, and the other people were amazed. What is going on in your mind, in our mind, as we're there? I look over at Paul, and there's a fucking tongue of fire over his mouth. He's looking at me. I'm trying to find, you know, but I can't see my own, because every time I move my head, it moves. This is more than I bargained for.
You think it just appeared unto them? It says, and there appeared unto them a cloven tongue. You think other people were able to see it too?
Yeah.
I think it's a dream that I had the other night. And I think what it is, I can't see mine, I can't see me, but I can see everybody in here with that fire above them. And what I see is I see Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, for the first time, the temple was truly dedicated. The glory of the Lord filled the temple not made with hands. We saw the foretaste of that when Solomon's temple was dedicated and the glory of the Lord filled the temple so that the priests never could get the hell out of there. Now the glory of the Lord is filling the true temple, not made with hands.
It's just it's like the opposite of what happened at the Tower of Babel.
Amen. Now at the Tower of Babel, Talmud says there were 70 different languages. The one language, Hebrew, which was the original language of life for the earth, was confused into 70 different tongues. Then at the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, the Talmud says that the law was given in 70 languages. And now we've returned. It's like the 70 have gone. So there's one language, one heart, one mind, one accord. But the communication of that so that the Lord would complete the circle was also given in 70 languages. So is these guys are running around there, and they're ignorant. They're from Galilee. Nothing good ever comes out of Galilee. As I told you, the only rabbi in the whole Talmud that came out of Galilee was Rabbi Jose. He's only quoted once. What? Okay. So they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, again, competing stimulus. Now, everything in the temple was supposed to be paying attention to the priest and the ceremony that's going on, and the offerings and the wave offerings. And all of a sudden, all the attention in the temple is directed away from the form to the substance. Because now the law had served its purpose. The temple has served its purpose. The sacrifice has served their purpose. And now it was fulfilled. By God's grace, he let the temple stand for 40 more years so they could have the shadow, so that if there was one human being that could have done the offerings right, so he let it go for the full generation. But in truth, the temple was finished. That moment. Understand?
Because the real temple had been dedicated. So the model of it.
Right. It's like the architect's model doesn't mean anything anymore. The real is here. You don't need the model anymore. The form is here. You don't need the type anymore. Okay? And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. 70 different nations, 70 different languages being spoken by these ignorant Galileans. And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in parts of Libya about Crene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Psalm, this is a completion of Psalm 119. Don't go there, because I'll read it to you if I can find it. I don't even know if I can find it.
It's a long song.
I think it's Psalm 119, 89, maybe. Well, anyway, it says, "Give ear unto my," something to the effect that, "Give ear unto my precept, and I will show you wondrous things out of my law." And that's what they were speaking of, the wondrous works of God. And it was the most effective preaching in the history of the world, because the Holy Spirit was giving utterance without conscious intervention. It was impossible for the high places and the pillars and the groves to affect what the Spirit was moving on these men, because it came without the consciousness. And that's why speaking in tongues, even as a private prayer language, is something to be longed for. Because you pray and you short circuit all these pillars and high identities. So don't be afraid of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Long for it. Don't be upset if you don't have it. Wait on it. If you have prejudices against it, confess it.
Is it possible for someone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the high place identity still there, or is it like a progressive thing as the high place identity gets destroyed, more of the Holy Spirit can be manifest? It doesn't seem like it.
Well, I guarantee you, with the high place identity unexposed, then the vessel will pollute the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the gifts and calling of God are given without repentance. I mean, the rain falls of the just and the unjust. God gave us pure air and we polluted it. God gave us grass and we built cement over it. Well, same thing. God gives the baptism of the Holy Spirit and mankind pollutes it by taking it. It's just another instrument of taking something to self. It's another instrument by which man can glory in it. So people are like, "Well, I'm a healer for Jesus. Deliverer for Jesus." Delivering for anybody but their own pride. So, it's possible, yes, but... Okay? "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Now, what was going on, I don't know if we should stop and do this now, or, no, we won't. Well, remind me to do this later. What was going on at the time, I believe, that the tongues of fire came, was the Hallel. And the Hallel is Psalm 113 to 118. And it was sung then, and it was used only 18 times during the whole year. It was the only time those psalms were permitted to be read. It was the 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles. It was read every day in the temple. The 8 days of the Feast of Dedication, it was read every day in the temple. And on the day of Passover, it was read in the temple. And on the day of Pentecost, it was read in the temple. And particular services by the priest near the altar or at the altar were going on at each of these feasts while the Hallel was being read or sung by the chorus. Remember that we talked about the chorus. Remember anybody, it was allegedly how many? How many trumpets?
Big trumpets.
20,000 trumpets.
It's hard to maintain even quality with that many.
How many timbrels, you remember? 4,000 timbrels. I mean, we're talking a building with perfect acoustics. And the chorus are the people singing, and we don't have any idea what this sounded like, but it was mind-blowing. It was somehow connected to the chords that each of us is longing for within us. And so when they sang these hymns, it reverberated inside the person. I mean, then they experientially knew the music.
So during this, the sound of the wind came.
Right.
And most of them probably dropped the trumpets.
Huh? Most of them, they lost their trumpets just like that.
Freak out,
priest. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, we're talking confusion there. You everybody got a picture of what's going on? This isn't happening. You know, 99% of the churches say that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in this little upper room. Okay, it was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, but there was no wind.
Just the sound.
Like a tornado. Freight train. Like a pressure.
Like a passenger train. Now that's wild. I'll
make a recording of that.
The rushing mighty wind was time passing by eternity and the sound that it made as that rip occurred.
The heavens rolling up like a scroll and the elements melting.
Golly!
And it was tongues like a fire, but without fire. Because if God would have truly ripped time, if there was a little pinpoint in time, truly, the whole universe would be sucked through that little pinpoint and quicker than your eye could flash. I mean, blink. Flash. Eyes flashing and stuff.
Hot flash.
Yeah, quicker than you can get a hot flash. So there was the appearance of fire, but no fire.
Like the bush.
Yeah, same thing. Same, it was the same phenomena. And it's the same thing of the cherubim at the garden with a flaming sword protecting the tree of life. Well, this is what we're seeing. It's wow. And we're talking ooey ooh stuff here. What?
It's a private joke. Don't learn about it.
Oh. Do I have to? The confusion of languages. You got to hear this. The confusion of languages was the casting off of the Gentiles. And also the confusion of the religion. In the Hebrew tongue alone, the things of true religion and all divine truth were known, taught, and delivered. When the languages were confused at the Tower of Babel, it was the casting off of the Gentiles. Casting off, casting out. Forever banned, done, finished, kaput. And it was a casting off forever of any kind of religion from God's standpoint. So everyone since then, you've been running around thinking you could have your own private faith, your own private religion. Because that's the symptom of the confusion.
Not for room experience.
No, this was back at Tower of Babel.
Yeah, but I mean everybody wants to have...
Oh yeah, everybody wants to have their own unique salvation, their isolated salvation. But you can't, I mean, again, as I said before, you can no longer have your own private religion than you can have your private son. It's just, I mean, think about it. It's stupid.
When it says that you, no man, have, you know, covering it over with a basket, it's not in a lion.
Man.
So the confusion of the languages came back together in the Logos.
Man.
The one word.
Man.
They were all a part
Man.
Of. Brought the thing full circle. Speak all these languages.
Yeah, we're about to celebrate next fast. No, not the next one, but interesting fast coming up for those of you who haven't done this yet is the fast of Ab. It comes on the 9th of Ab, and it's the time in which there's two of these. You know, this one you cannot take the sleep out of your eye. You can't comb your hair. You can't touch water to your face. You can't wear shoes. You can't drink any water, drink no food, no cigarettes, nothing to ingest, nothing to anoint your body. Now, this is the Jewish prayer at the Fast of Ab. Have mercy, O God, upon the city that mourneth, that is trodden down and desolate, because thou didst lay it waste by fire, and by fire thou wilt build it up again.
I've got to ask this. Going back, you said the Tower of Babel, the confusion of languages, was the casting off of the Gentiles. Now, when Pentecost was fully come, and the Spirit gave utterance in all those languages, is that the gathering in of the Gentiles?
Well, only because the seed of Christ is now, there's only Israel.
So, understanding.
Yeah.
So it is the light unto the Gentiles, and it is.
All men shall see the salvation of God. They shall see it together. That doesn't mean we're going to watch it on television like these idiots are preaching.
The Gentile who has ears to hear, it's there.
Have mercy, O God, upon the city that mourneth. See, they're still, the world, the religious world is looking, they're still thinking that Jerusalem is the city that mourneth. That's mourning. We see that God has built up the city with fire. We don't play those stupid games anymore. We don't look for something that's going to happen in the future. We open our eyes and take the veil off our eyes and see the New Jerusalem surrounding us. And it's always there. You can go no place where it isn't. And if you're not there, then you read the Psalms of Ascent quickly to get back in there. Because it's dumb not to be in there.
So, like, it's neat that it came on the Fast of Ab, this thing they were saying, and God was building up, you know, it was like,
man,
how long it had been since Pentecost, things were happening, and, you know, everyone was reading this blessing,
man,
and it was really happening.
These men are full of new wine. As you know, all of you heard me say this, with regard to the Feast of Purim, a man is bound to make himself so mellow on the Feast of Purim, that he shall not be able to distinguish between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordecai. That's one part of the whole stuff we got down pretty good.
No. No, not me. That's just that first time I got so sick.
That was a lot of people's first, of course we were banned forever from Joyce Anna's mother's house, but there was a lot of people that was their first time.
Got sick.
Harry was totally disgusted.
Were you disgusted?
Did you really?
You go to the ranch. I traveled in on the door of the toilet at the Denny's when Ollie and I went to breakfast the next morning.
He did what?
I limboed under the.
Oh, I know. Did you hear how the limbo started?
You tell the joke.
What?
He was the one that I heard tell it last.
Oh.
Why were they mocking? How can you see a rip in time and mock?
Because
somebody's
not. Because they believe that the demon Corticus possesses those that are drunk.
But I mean, you know.
Possessed. Huh? They thought they were possessed. And they thought that the seeing of any of those things was a manifestation of Satan. They thought everything that was happening was the demon Corticus. You understand? Now, Peter. Now, we don't have time to do Peter. I want to do. This is a great speech.
Oh, yeah, we got
it. Okay. Now, one of the interesting things about, let me stop a minute. One of the interesting things about the offering that on Pentecost of the wave offering and the loaves that were offered in Pentecost is unless that offering was accepted, they couldn't use any of the grain and the new grain in the whole of the land of Israel. No food.
How'd they know if it was all
huh?
It was accepted?
Well, because the priest didn't get killed.
Yes.
A darn fine way of knowing whether or not.
In other words, it was accepted if they did everything right.
Right.
If they did everything right, nothing bad happened.
Right.
That's how they.
Right. Now, yeah. In verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You got? I mean, here he is. He's guy. I mean, he's one of these wanted men. He's wanted more than any of them."
This is a fisherman who's going to interrupt the devil's sermon.
He's a fisherman.
Yeah, Jesus doing it is one thing.
Ignorant.
From Galilee.
Galilean.
His Messiah died.
And he's interrupting one of the three times of the year when all Jews had to come and appear. If they didn't, they were cut off from God. Cut off from the people. Huh?
He's taking a lot on.
Got big ones. Got bull ones. Bull balls. Huh? Oh. Okay. What?
Nothing.
Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my voice. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Now, the reason that is so important is that nothing might be tasted before the prayers in the temple or in the synagogue were finished. No wine, no food, no nothing until this morning service was completed. Okay? Got that? Now, sometimes it lasted until noon, so they didn't get. Now, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. We're going to stop here in a minute, because this is the most critical issue that sets us off from everybody else that I'm concerned, I mean, that I'm aware of in religion. That everybody believes that the latter rain and the prophet, the thing that the prophet Joel predicted, is going to come. And Peter makes a declarative statement that said, this here is what the prophet Joel predicted. It's happened before your very eyes. It's not going to happen again. There isn't an interruption between its happening. It happened once and it has continuous results. These people that are running around waiting for their latter rain are going to be waiting in hell. What? Now. No, let's stop there. That's a good place to stop. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and do the Afkaman. And this next part is really fun part. This next part is exciting. Yep. Can everybody take the bread and the wine?
Wait.
Pete can't.
Pete can't.
Pete.
Pete's outside the luau.
The luau.
He's without the luau.
Oh yeah, everyone wear Hawaiian shirts next week.
By the way, Pentecost night is Hawaiian night.
Just happens to fall in Hawaii.
It's Hawaiian night.
Oh, I figured out. I figured out why Uli doesn't like Hawaiian shirts.
Tell us.
Because when he was in Beirut, one of those thugs was wearing a Hawaiian style shirt.
That's the kind of people
with
who wear
a gun that. Underneath it.
That's a good reason for Pentecost to be Hawaiian. It's the night after Friday the 13th. In the woods.
With a holy.
With a holy.
In the woods with Leatherface, or whatever his name is.
Tom's bringing his machete.
With killer cows.
And a face mask.
Jason.
I'm going to bring my dog that'll scare you.
Chainsaw too.
What if we get some alligators?
Shooting.
Let's just bring Sarah and let her talk.
That's true. That same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he blessed it. And he said, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth, who bringeth forth the bread of life from this earthen vessel. And all the things that we've said so often, by these stripes you are healed. By this bread, every need that you could have is met, because you see him. He said, take, eat. This is my body. Some of you jumped the gun.
I like your gun. The elders are setting a bad example for the rest of us.
Well, at least he didn't chew his.
He's playing with his.
I was watching Darlene.
Watching Darlene mess up.
Don't bolt your mouth.
Don't bolt your food. It's an old New Jersey saying.
You're losing control to the Norwegians.
We never had it.
From an old
Norwegian.
I think my cold's getting there.
Choked on my mouth.
What, are you eating that napkin?
No.
Snot-filled napkin, she's eating it.
Shut up.
Oh, Larry.
I think I'm Larry. Gone too far.
I'm not eating that.
And he took the cup. And he gave thanks, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, createst the fruit of the vine. By this cup, and by this and nothing else, you art made worthy. He said, This is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sin. For the remission of everything that you think is negative in your life. For the remission of the... Do you know why the olive tree is symbolic of Israel in the scriptures?
Because it gets squished up and made
it... Two reasons. Two reasons. One is... It's because it's the leaves, it bears leaves 12 months a year. And so it's always here. The second reason is that the fruit of the olive tree, the olive, in order that it might be useful, must undergo severe persecution. Same is true in another sense, the grape must endure crushing so that the fruit of the grape would be revealed.
Also, the olive tree lasts for...
Thousands of years.
I mean, the same ones that are on the Mount of Olives are the ones that were there when Christ was there.
Amen. Same with
the... Incredible.
Amen.
Yeah. And the other thing is that it doesn't even bear fruit until it's about 40 years old.
Yeah,
it takes a long
time.
40?
Yeah.
Usually
it was.
Know that.
That's
why I only was.
Did he give thanks yet? Yeah, he gave
yes.
thanks.
Yes.
He didn't say drink.
This is
particularly meaningful to me right now because there's a lot of stuff going on that would like to say, well, you're this, you're that, you're not a part, you're screwed up, you know, all this crap. And it's
the only thing I know is it's by the shedding of the blood that, that all life is crap. Man, and I'm just having to bear with it and endure it until it's made meat, made fruit.
To life.
Prayer becomes fertilizer.
And to our brother Gary.
Alabita.
Pray for him.